Desire to enjoy in Dhruvaloka, the heavenly planets, or the planet where Lord Brahma resides. Nor do I want to be the supreme ruler of all the earthly planets or the lower planetary systems. I do not desire to be master of the powers of Mukha Yoga, nor do I want liberation if I have to give up your lotus feet. Translation with repetition, please. O my Lord, source of all opportunities,
I do not desire
to enjoy in Dhruvaloka
the heavenly planets
or the planet where Lord Brahma resides. Nor do I want
to be the supreme ruler
of all the earthly planets
or the lower planetary systems.
I do not desire
to be master of the powers of mystic yoga.
Nor do I want liberation.
If I have to give up your lotus feet.
A pure devotee never desires to gain material opportunities by rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord. A pure devotee desires only to engage in loving service to the Lord in the constant association of the Lord and His eternal associates. As stated in the previous words, Dasanu Dasa Bhavitasmi, as confirmed by Narasam Das Thakura, Tandera Karana Sevi Bhakti Sanevasa Janame Janame Haya E Abhilasha. To serve the Lord and the servants of His servants in the association of devotees is the only objective of a pure, unalloyed devotee. Om Ajnanamirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaturam Nisham Nishadatmai Shri Kruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svataramitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shara Shri Rupam Sarajatam Sarganarunahanditam Tam Chajivam Sarvaitam Sarasutam Parijanarayam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Radha Sarganarunahanditati Vishakavitam Shara He Krishna Paranahindo Jinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kantara Radha Kantara Nostre Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrilavanute Devi Namami Hari Priye Vasana Kalpata Rupya Cha Kripa Sindhu Bheta Kanchana Pavanyo Vaishnavityo Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this chapter, the translation called Dhritarashtra, talks about what actually is the position of a pure devotee in all circumstances. Dhritarashtra is basically in the battlefield. And even though he's in the battlefield and he knows he's going to be killed, still he's actually praying like a person who's standing in front of the deities. He's actually not confused of his duty. To understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, at least the 6th canto, the 6th canto of Sri Prabhupada actually terms, he names the 6th canto as prescribed duties of mankind. So he actually gives a lot of instructions on how a human being, conditioned soul, has to do in this material world in order to achieve the highest perfection. In that context, in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, Parikshit Maharaj asks Sukadeva Goswami a question. He says, in the end of 5th canto, Parikshit Sukadeva Goswami talks about the hellish planetary systems. saying that if you don't atone yourself for all the sins that you have committed, you will have to face the consequence. And because of hearing all these things, Sukadeva Goswami says all these things, Parikshit Maharaj is disturbed. He is actually a little worried. Although he himself actually has not committed any sinful activities, he knows gender living in Kali Yuga will have a tendency to commit sinful activities. So he asks Sukadeva Goswami, how does one overcome these sinful activities? What should they do? So Sukadeva Goswami immediately says, one should atone oneself before one dies. One should atone himself. Whatever has to be done, he has to do the prayaschitta, atonement, prescribed in the Shastras before one dies. But Parikshit Maharaj says, by doing that, what actually is going to be the benefit? He gives the example of an elephant bath. He says, although you do the atonement, the desire to commit sinful activities, that doesn't go. So in your next birth, you again continue to do the same thing. So what good is it going to be? So for that, Sukadeva Goswami congratulates Parikshit Maharaj and says, the real atonement is cultivation of the knowledge of the Absolute Truth. And he speaks about a philosophical, he gives a philosophical explanation of why it is important to cultivate the knowledge of the Absolute Truth. So you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is actually variation. Sometimes Sukadeva Goswami asks, Parikshit Maharaj asks very philosophical questions, for which Sukadeva Goswami gives an elaborate philosophical answer. And after that, when the reader actually keeps on reading the philosophical aspect, sometimes you get bored, that what is this all about? Then he actually comes back to a pastime. And he links to that. He has the pastime and the explanation. So it goes hand in hand. So here, Parikshit Maharaj, when he asks this question, Sukadeva Goswami says, instead of actually cultivating the knowledge of the Absolute Truth, better to actually do devotion service to Supreme Lord. Because even a little bit of devotion service done to Supreme Lord in a proper consciousness can save one from the greatest dangers. And Krishna also mentions this, like, Svalpam api asi dharmasya trayate mahatobhaya. The greatest danger you can overcome. So when Sukadeva Goswami gives this, he also explains the story of Ajamila. It is how Ajamila was very sinful. Although he started off Krishna consciousness in the beginning, he actually got waylaid, he actually deviated, and then he again became a devotee in the end. So he gives the explanation of that. And after that, after hearing Ajamila's story, Sukadeva Goswami explains the Hamsa Guhya prayers. Why? Because Parikshit Maharaj wants to again know about how the secondary creation happens. First he actually asked this question, and after that he asked, how does the secondary creation, how does this world created, how is this creation happening? So Sukadeva Goswami again goes back to a philosophical explanation of who is Daksha, what is his progenitor, who actually created whom, how are the demigods coming, how is the human being created, all these things. And when it goes on like this, with so many interpretations of so many people coming, different personalities, Daksha's children, their children, and he is explaining like that. He comes to a point wherein he says, at one point in time, Indra offends Brihaspati. So, Sukadeva Goswami, when he says this, Parikshit Maharaj asks, why did Indra offend Brihaspati, although his own spiritual master? What was the reason? And why did Brihaspati abandon his disciples? So, in that context, this pastime of Dhritarashtra comes. Before Dhritarashtra, there is this his elder brother, Vishwarup. When Indra actually commits this offense of Brihaspati, Brihaspati being spiritually advanced, he disappears. And he understands that Indra is puffed up by material opulence. Sometimes when you have too much of material opulence, we all tend to think, I can achieve anything and everything. I don't care for anything. And Indra had that mentality, and Brihaspati was able to understand that the Lord also has a pastime to perform. So when this whole thing is happening, Parikshit Maharaj is becoming more and more aware of the importance of devotion service. And Sukadeva Goswami explains that Indra approaches Brahma realizing that he's made a mistake. And Brahmaji corrects him, saying, you have offended your spiritual master. Offending the spiritual master, there is no remedy. However, understanding that the Lord has a higher reason, he asks Indra and the demigod to approach Vishwarupa, who is actually the son of Vashta. Vishwarupa actually is a kind of a Brahmana who has relationship between both the demigods and the demons. And Vishwarupa is actually killed eventually because he is related to both the demons and demigods. He supports the demons also, and Indra becomes offended, saying that why should I am actually maintaining him, and he is actually maintaining the demons. So he chops him off, he just cuts off his head. And for that reason, his father Swashta, he performs a fire sacrifice in which Vritrasura is born. Vritrasura is a very powerful demon. He is an extremely powerful demon. He actually even swallows all the weapons that Indra throws. And if you see this, and in the previous classes also we found that Vritrasura, although he is actually a demon, he has extraordinary qualities, which is actually much more than a pure devotee. He is an exalted personality, although he appears like a demon. Now, how is this Vritrasura has become like this? Normally, a Sura and Asura, the definition of a Sura is a person who makes a plan. If the plan doesn't work, he goes to Vishnu. He goes and asks Krishna for help. A Asura is a person who makes a plan. If that doesn't work, he makes another plan. Right? So that is the basic definition between Sura and Asura. Whereas, a pure devotee of the Lord does not make any plans. He simply executes the order of the spiritual master. He doesn't do any plan. If he is making a plan, then he cannot be a devotee. However, he can make plans to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master. That's actually the definition. Now, Vritrasura, as you see, in the battlefield, he is actually praying to the Lord with so much of affection, saying that whatever I heard from Lord Sankarsana, I am trying to follow it. And he is actually meditating on the lotus feet of Lord Sankarsana, and with that mind, he is actually fighting there, which is a very, very difficult situation. So we have to understand, how did he come to this situation? How did Vritrasura come to this kind of situation wherein Indra himself is actually confused? Indra is a Sura, he is a Devata, he is a demigod. He is actually the head of all the Devatas except Brahma and Lord Shiva. Although he is in such a position, he actually is feeling insecure in front of Vritrasura. Whereas Vritrasura, being an Asura, is supposed to become very atheistic. This Vritrasura pastime is a very important pastime because it actually demonstrates how even a demon can be a devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord. Right? It's a very exalted situation. Vritrasura, in his previous life, was Chitraketu, King Chitraketu. You heard about this pastime. It will come later because when Indra himself is confused, even Parikshit Maharaj is confused. He says, in the battlefield, when he's going to fight, he's actually preaching. He knows he's going to get killed. He knows Indra actually has a Vajra weapon. On the order of Lord Vishnu, they took the bones of the Rishi Muni, and with that, Vishwakarma actually designed his weapon, and it wasn't there before. Indra was not confident that this Vajra will work. But Vritrasura was confident because he has faith in the Supreme Lord, saying this is going to work, I am going to get killed, don't worry. But still, undaunting, he is going to fight with Indra. So Vritrasura, in his previous life, he was King Chitraketu. And King Chitraketu had a million wives, but he didn't have a progeny. Million wife maintaining is a very tough task. But he was, because he wanted actually to have a child which can actually continue his generation, but somehow by the will of the Lord, that didn't happen. So he was lamenting all the time. And that point in time, Narada Muni and Ankira Muni wanted to bestow their mercy. So this is actually the quality of a pure devotee. A pure devotee is not satisfied simply to be serving the Supreme Lord. He wants to make sure that every living entity is going to serve the Supreme Lord. In the spiritual world, everyone does serve the Supreme Lord naturally. You can say they are conditioned in their constitutional position. They are created to serve the Supreme Lord and they are like that. Whereas in the material world, I have a difference of opinion. I don't care. Maybe the Supreme Lord is saying something, okay, fine. Maybe for some people they may follow it, but it's not for me. So that mentality creeps in, and in Kali Yuga it's more prominent. When Narayana actually bestowed this mercy, he actually explained, Nangirimuni also gave a child and also removed the child. And that point in time, after preaching to Chitraketu, Chitraketu actually became a devotee. This is actually the power of association of pure devotees. There is actually a very nice story mentioned in one of the Puranas about what is the power of association. Narayana himself wanted to know what is this power of association all about, of a pure devotee. Because even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, all the Shastras is mentioned, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra, Labhamatra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Bhavati. Labhamatra means the time it takes to actually poke a pin in a banana or a banana stem. That is actually the time, that moment. Of course, one should actually follow the instructions of the sadhu, whatever it says. Not that you go and embrace the spiritual master and then you go and do your own activities. That will not work. It's just like if the firewood is actually very dry, as soon as it actually touches the fire, it catches fire. But if you go and pour one bucket of water on that, what is the use? It will not work. But Dhritarashtra, Chitraketu, took the instruction seriously. Narada Muni wanted to know this power of association. So he went to Lord Vishnu and asked, what is this power of association? So Lord Vishnu told Narada Muni, can you see the parrot? He showed a parrot in the material world and said, can you go and talk to it? Ask it, it will tell you. So this parrot was sitting happily. Narada Muni went there and nobody seeing, he went and asked the parrot, what is the power of association? The Narada Muni asked this, the parrot actually fell from the tree and died. It died. So Narada Muni was very scared. He went back to Narayana and asked him, what is this? I asked him a question, he actually fell dead. He said, don't worry. You see the horse there, the baby horse? The horse is actually given birth to a small mare, a baby horse. Go and ask that. So Narada Muni goes, okay, fine. And then nobody is seeing, he goes and asks the mare, what is the power of association? And then this horse, this mare, actually screams and then dies again. So Narada Muni is scared. What is this? This question has so much of heaviness. So he goes back to Narayana and says, I am actually very scared. I don't want actually, you only tell me, instead of me going and experimenting. He says, no. You see the prince there? This prince is the newborn king, newborn prince is born. Go and ask him. Yeah, this is a very scary situation because the prince means so many guards will be there. And if Narada Muni does this and the prince dies, he'll be in trouble. He says, don't worry, go. So when Narada Muni goes there, he finds an opportunity so that nobody else sees. And the prince is actually watching, as the baby is watching Narada Muni. And because of the mercy of Lord Vishnu, there's always the baby, he started laughing and looking at Narada Muni. And Narada Muni asked him, what is the power of association? He started laughing. He said, Narada Muni, are you not able to identify me? I am the same parrot. I am the same horse. I am the same person whom you actually came and asked. By your association, simply by hearing your voice, I have come to this level. That actually is the power of association. And Narada Muni understands. So there are a lot of confidential passages that Narada Muni does. Why? Because of his bhakti. So, this is actually even a moment's association of a pure devotee and taking his instructions to the heart can change somebody's life eternally. And Chitraketu, by taking initiation from Narada Muni, obtained a secret mantra. In the olden days, they had the secret mantras because mantras are meant only for a particular person. It's like a doctor giving a prescription. It's not that everyone has different diseases. Not that I'll give you one particular generic tablet and everyone eat it. No, that will not work. Because in Kali Yuga, because everyone has the same problem. Bhavaroga, material attachment. Whatever we hear, when we actually go back to our normal way of living, the concept of me, myself, my body, my surrounding, everything belongs to me, predominantly service. And because of which, the first basic treatment is simply to remove this bhavaroga.
Then only we can understand Krishna consciousness.
Sarvesha Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna. And all the time you always kept chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He kept on saying this again and again. He never gave any other solution. Even though if you actually have any other problem, he said you do this, because this actually is the underlying principle. If this is not taken care of, the bhavaroga is not cured, shastras don't make any sense. Devotion to the Supreme Lord doesn't make much sense. Why? Because your heart is impure. You might be sentimental. Right? So, with this mantra, Chitraketu chanting this mantra, following what Narada said, within 7 days, he was able to see Lord Sankarsana, as promised by Narada. Within 7 days. And he also got a very elevated position as a Vidyadhara, one of the Gandharvas, Vidyadhara, they are the inhabitants of higher planetary systems. So they got this opportunity, he got this opportunity, and he saw Lord Sankarsana face to face. And Lord Sankarsana, because he saw he was already purified by the mantra, they both started crying out of affection. Chitraketu and Lord Sankarsana looking at each other, they started crying out of affection and he couldn't speak anything. And after that he glorifies the Lord, glorifies Sankarsana so much. And Sankarsana, although able to take Chitraketu at that point in time as his associate, does not take him. He says, I'll give you instructions. He gives instructions and says, you go and glorify the Supreme Lord. I'll give you an airplane wherein you can sit and then go around glorifying the Supreme Lord so that you can make more devotees. And Chitraketu for millions of years, not 1 year, not 2 years, millions of years with his wife goes around and preaches the glories of the Supreme Lord. And as it goes on, when the right time comes, the Supreme Lord wants to take Chitraketu into some eternal association. And that point in time he creates a situation wherein Chitraketu offends Lord Shiva and Parvati. And because of which, Parvati curses and Chitraketu becomes Vritrasura. So Vritrasura in his previous life itself, he has seen Lord Sankarsana, he is already perfected. That is why you see that although he is there in the battlefield, his consciousness is not actually bewildered, he is not confused. When you see the prayers, he's saying, I don't want Dvaloka, I don't want any heavenly planet, I don't want to rule this earth, I don't want anything. I don't want mystic powers also. He has already mystic powers because of being a demon. But he doesn't want. And he says, I don't want even liberation if I have to actually give up your lotus feet. He doesn't want mukti. Right? So this actually is a qualification of a pure devotee. Right? Lord Chaitanya also prayed. Right? Similar to this. He said, I don't want anything. I don't want even liberation. Even if you don't, are not present, even if you actually throw me out, I will still actually continue to worship you. So this actually is the position. One simply cannot bow to the Supreme Lord's kingdom. Simply saying, okay, I have a desire to go back to Godhead. I will do anything and everything. No. You have to follow the Acharya's statements. You have to follow the instructions of the spiritual masters. Although Chitraketu actually was seeing Lord Sankarsana, he could actually say, Sankarsana, don't send me, I will stay here only. I will not go back to the material world. But Chitraketu accepted that for millions of years actually going around. And if you see, even in our movement in the early days, when Srila Prabhupada started this movement, there were situations like this. There was a devotee by name Priyadisha. So this person, in the early 60s, 67, 68, late 60s. He was very dear to Srila Prabhupada and he used to chant more than 100 rounds a day. He was simply chanting all the time. And Srila Prabhupada actually understood his mood and he told the devotees he has to take proper prasadam also. And whenever devotees used to tell take prasadam, he used to go take half a chapati and a 2 or 3 spoonfuls of dal. That was it. And he used to sit in a corner and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Rama. So going on, even 2 hours, 3 hours maximum used to sleep and even again get up. He never used to talk to anyone. He was so fixed in chanting Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, this kind of show bottle will not work. You have to follow the instruction of the previous acharyas. The acharyas knows what is the situation and they give the prescription. And when you follow the prescription, then you get the purification. Otherwise, Even chanting Hare Krishna can be sincere devotion. Chanting Hare Krishna has to be done, it's Hari Kirtana, for the pleasure of Lord Hari. Although Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, chanting can be done for the sake of attracting new souls. Because if it's melodious, nobody wants to hear Krishna Katha. Everyone is interested in hearing about Hitler and other kind of historical personalities, or maybe the present day heroes. But nobody wants to hear about Krishna. So the acharyas allow these kind of changes, saying that you can do kind of have a very melodious kirtan, which attracts the conditioned soul, right? But the real point is, one should actually chant the Hare Krishna mantra for the pleasure of Lord Hari, not for the pleasure of us, right? So when we do that, then we start getting purified, right? The Bhagavatam actually says a very important shloka. It says, Yasyasti Bhakti Bhagavati Akinchana Sarve Gunain Tata Samasate Suraha Harav Abhaktasya Kuto Mahatguna Mano Ratena Sati Davato Bhaini. The Bhagavatam is saying, actually, all the transcendental qualities of a pure devotee is bestowed upon the pure devotee by the Supreme Lord. It is not that he actually cultivates these qualities. By cultivation, nobody can actually become a pure devotee, especially these qualities. It doesn't come like that. It comes when Krishna actually sees the sincerity and bestows. Whereas a non-devotee, whatever good qualities he has, these actually are his mental concoction. He is thinking, I am very humble, or this is what is humility, or this is what is actually service attitude. He is thinking like that. So that is not actually the real aspect of transcendental qualities. Transcendental qualities is bestowed. It is not cultivated. But then why do we actually train ourselves to follow all these things? Right? Because to show seriousness that I want to become a pure devotee, I want to become your servant. Right? So for that reason, if a devotee actually cultivates the good habits, right? Otherwise, these kind of cultivating qualities, because each of us actually thinks humility means this, service attitude means this, but that need not be really then the reality. The reality actually is bestowed by Krishna when he sees the purity of the devotee, right? And we show this like your the Lord Dhammas are past tense, right? The two things. One is our endeavor, other is actually the Lord's mercy. When he sees that you are endeavoring to become the Lord's devotee, the Lord bestows these qualities on us. That actually attracts all the living entities to the Supreme Lord. So whenever we actually do devotion service or any activity in devotion service, our attitude should be to show the affection towards the Lord. When you actually go before the deities, we normally, if you see, Vrtasura, he is actually praying with so much of affection. The next verse, he is actually saying, O Lotus Eyed Lord, as baby birds that have not yet developed their wings, always look for their mother to return and feed them. As small calves tied with ropes await anxiously the time of milking, when they will be allowed to drink the milk of their mothers, or as a morose wife whose husband is away from home always longs for him to return and satisfy her in all respects, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. He is actually praying like this in the battlefield. Oh my Lord, my Master, I am wandering throughout this material world as a result of my fruitive activities. Therefore, I simply seek friendship in the association of your pious and enlightened devotees. My attachment to my body, wife, children and home is continuing by the spell of your external energy. But I wish to be attached to them no longer. Let my mind, my consciousness and everything I have be attached only to you. He is actually saying, he doesn't want any other thing. He doesn't want anything to actually come in between his devotion to the Supreme Lord and the service attitude to the Supreme Lord. If we don't actually cultivate this devotion, that is why actually Lord Chaitanya, when he came here, He didn't give any other rules and regulations. He simply said, chant Hare Krishna, and automatically you will start achieving this devotion towards the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada translates bhakti into devotional service. He doesn't say simply devotion. Because devotion can mean even just sentiments. Right? Sentimental attachment to the Lord may not help us on long run. It may actually attract other people. But in reality, sentimentally, if one is attached to the Lord, that will actually become an impediment as it progresses. Because as you progress, your mind actually starts playing tricks with you, saying that this is actually real devotion, start crying in front of the Lord. Right? But in actuality, that may not be the truth. In fact, Vishwedanta Maharaj asked Sri Prabhupada, whenever I see the Supreme Lord, I feel like crying. And I see a blue halo. This is how the Lord's mercy flows. Prabhupada says, keep chanting, after this the light will go. So Prabhupada actually was able to understand, if you were to understand what is the situation of the condition flows. Right? So it goes like that. If we don't actually develop the emotional aspect, affection for the Lord, any activity that we do becomes simply a ritual. Even a book distribution, of course on a long run it definitely helps. But even if we do any activity, if we don't actually train ourselves on the spirit behind this activity, that is basically the devotion to the Lord. When we offer food to the Lord, the bhoga, patram pushpam, palam soyam, yome bhaktya prayachati. Right? If we offer it out of love and devotion, affection to the Lord, and any activity we do in that kind of manner, then the Lord accepts it. Otherwise, why does he eat our food? I mean, he is actually served by so many Lakshmi Devis, very rich personalities. So they actually have so many followers, he has so many followers. And he doesn't really need our food. But he wants the devotion. And he accepts the devotion. Right? And even food is one, and any other offering that we do, it could be our day-to-day life, anything for that matter, even if you actually go before the deity, we need to cultivate this knowledge. And Lord Chaitanya actually came to give what? What did he come to give? Love of Godhead. That is Krishna Prema. That is what? It's actually love and affection towards the Supreme Lord. Right? Otherwise, this whole process appears very mechanical. You will find Krishna consciousness is a rule, it's a game of rule and regulation. So many rules, so many regulations, and you don't feel like really following it after some time. Unless you see there is actually an affection between you and the Supreme Lord, that is, bhakti is between Bhagavan and the bhakta. So when you cultivate this, when you cultivate this mood, the affectionate mood towards the Lord, then all this, following all these things becomes very, very simple. Otherwise, you will feel it is actually a very big burden. He said, like, karmi life is much better. And it becomes like, oh, every day I have to chant 16 rounds, and every day actually I have to follow all these things. Wherever I go outside, I have to be aware that I am a devotee. Right? I can't simply act weirdly. See, Vritrasura, in his battlefield in the final days, he is not actually very inert. I am a devotee inside. He is openly actually in front of Indra actually saying, oh Lord, I want to come back to you. It's enough. And then, whatever, because of my karma, I am actually going through this. I want to get back to you. He is actually praying like that. And Prabhupada actually, as we have mentioned, one should become like that. Even in public life, you should be, that actually is sannyas, basically. Come to the stage of telling others that I am a devotee, yes, I have to follow all these things. Right? And Lord Chaitanya came to give this Krishna Prema. And Srila Prabhupada minimized the process. He actually, he eased the process. He made it very simple. He says the minimum amount of love that you can show towards Krishna is by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here this simple chanting Hare Krishna mantra is the basic level of love that we can show to the Supreme Lord. It could be mechanical, but still 16 rounds of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and following the four declarative principles. That is, no meat eating of all sorts, no gambling of all sorts, no illicit sex of all sorts, and no intoxication of all sorts. Because in Kali Yuga, people actually come up with a lot of decaffeinated coffee, this kind of thing. We don't know why actually the Acharyas have mentioned these things. So we should actually come to that stage. We may not be in the stage of not following everything. I'm sorry, following everything. But we should actually move towards that. That whatever the Acharya said is fine. I shouldn't actually find some tweaks there. Right? And when we do this, and also avoid the 10 offenses mentioned in the Shastras, then that is a basic level of loving attitude that we can show to the Supreme Lord. And one should actually grow more than that. That is the basic level. If you say, are you a lover of God? This is actually the level. Because when you say lover of God, it is a relative term. It's a relative term. Some person might be actually following something, other person might be following something. But Prabhupada said, this is the basic level one can actually, one should actually follow. And if you follow this much, that actually is the basic definition that you are a lover of God. And one should actually go beyond that. One should actually progress more. The more you progress, according to one's capacity, the more you'll feel closer to the Supreme Lord. Right? And for this, we need association of devotees. Association of devotees is not really required for understanding the Shastras. It's not required for chanting Hare Krishna also. But actually, to cultivate the devotion towards the Supreme Lord, it is very important. Just like when you take a iron piece near to a magnet, what happens? It attracts. And eventually, that iron knife, if it actually is in the association of the magnet for quite some time, that also starts attracting. That also becomes like magnet. Right? That actually is the association with pure devotee. That is why when you get a chance to associate with a pure devotee, one should simply be in his presence here and then try to help whatever you can. He magnetizes the person to become a devotee. And if you go away from that association, right, eventually you will have to act independently. If you don't have proper connection to the parampara, you will not get the power to serve. So, association of devotees is very, very important. And that association is actually mentioned, and the Lord actually says, what does the Lord say in the Bhagavad Gita? He says, Matchitta Matkata Prana Bodhe Enta Parasparam Kate Entascha Maham Nityam Tushyanti Chara Manticha. The devotees actually have to discuss about the Lord's glories. The more one hears about the Lord's glories, his affection towards the Lord increases. That is why Lord Chaitanya actually told Sanatana Goswami to read the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. Why do we need the association of devotees? Because they understand the final feelings between the Lord and the devotees. Otherwise what happens? You'll feel, okay, he's a heroic person, he's a superhuman being or superhero. But that doesn't actually increase your love for the Lord. So that is the reason we have to actually associate with devotees and understand this mood, this loving attitude towards the Lord. And when we do that, automatically our heart actually becomes very, very, it becomes like butter. It becomes very, then we won't really feel the difficulties or the austerities that we take in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, if you read the Bhagavatam, there are so many shlokas, so many things, and so many things to remember, and you will start thinking, oh, this is really a big burden, something. But when you actually start appreciating the Lord's position and your affection for the Lord increases, what all He is doing for my sake, and automatically your affection for the Lord increases, and you don't feel like even dropping off anything. You try to follow whatever is possible, right? There is actually a nice pastime about Samakrishna Maharaj and Prabhupada. Samakrishna Maharaj once, because Prabhupada always said this is a basic level, one should actually do more. And Samakrishna Maharaj in the early 70s was a GBC for India. And Giriraj Maharaj was helping him in Bombay. And it so happened, as they started actually continuing their service, Giriraj Maharaj actually contracted the typhoid and he was sent back to US. So Samakrishna Maharaj was loaded with the GBC activities. He also had to handle the Bombay temple and oversee all the other activities. And he had to see the construction also. It became so difficult for him, he started crying. And he went to Prabhupada. He was a new sannyasi also. He went to Prabhupada and asked him. He said, Prabhupada, I simply can't take this. I give up. And Prabhupada was sitting in the Vyasa, and he was actually bending back and then he was laughing. You are laughing. So, Ramakrishna Maharaj actually felt very miserable. He said, I am actually in a very difficult situation. I am not able to chant my rounds because by the time I finish my rounds, some other service is pulling me here and there. And even when I am chanting, I am thinking about something else, what I am supposed to do. I am getting pulled here and there. And Prabhupada said, I actually want you to pray to Krishna like this. Please pray. He was telling Ramakrishna Maharaj that your position is very, very fortunate. Pray to get entangled in service of Krishna. So that Maya will not get even one inch of time to attack you. Because by the time you finish one service, some other service comes. You get pulled in everything. Right? You are telling Ramakrishna Maharaj that position is very, very fortunate position. And Ramakrishna Maharaj understood this, oh, there is a higher reason. And he actually accepted it. You see, the early days of Prabhupada disciples, they were struggling so much. They didn't have very comfortable lifestyle. Today, because they have actually struggled so much to build the ISKCON, today we are in the position of sitting and then getting trained on higher aspects. In the olden days, they never had this kind of very high training in the world. They didn't have this kind of personality development training, nothing was there. But they simply had devotion for Prabhupada, and Prabhupada restored all the mercy, whatever is required. And that was actually the only reason. You see, they may not be actually very eloquent speakers. They may not be very eloquent speakers, but they have a devotion to the Lord. A devotee is actually known by the devotion, not by his eloquent speech, nor by anything else. A spiritual master is known by devotion. How much of devotion does he have to Krishna? See, Narada Muni is a confidential devotee. Narada Muni is known for bhakti, not for anything else. He is not a philosophical person that he can refute anyone else. He has the bhakti in his heart. And because he has the bhakti in his heart, what does he do? He becomes very confidential to the Lord. The Lord actually does a lot of confidential pastimes through Narada Muni. So many pastimes which have taken place, Narada Muni does so many things. He gets involved in so many things. Whether it be to identify who is the greatest devotee, the gopis are the greatest devotee, that, or to know how Maya works, things like that, not ordinary people can do it. Narada Muni gets involved in all these confidential pastimes. He also goes and tells the Supreme Lord in Vrindavan, he says, your Vrindavan Leela is over, you have to actually go to Dwarka, because the Dwarka pastime has to start. And after that he says, you are a supremely independent Lord anyways, so you will do whatever you want. And Krishna tells him, Narada Muni, if you are telling me that, why are you giving me the choice? Right? So this kind of confidential pastime, Narada Muni does. Why? Because of his only reason that he has a bhakti. So that is what we have to actually cultivate. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. Sometimes what happens when we actually read the shastras, we become very philosophical, we become more scriptural oriented, and we put a line, you turn or you burn. So you say, if you put your hand outside, you will be cut. But you have to understand what is the intention behind that. So, this whole Bhagavatam or the Vedic scripture, chanting Hare Krishna, association with devotees, is simply to increase our devotion towards the Supreme Lord. If we increase our devotion towards the Supreme Lord, our affection towards the Supreme Lord, everything else becomes very simple. And Vritrasana is showing that how to actually establish, treat the Lord like a person, number one, and pray to the Lord with so much of affection. Right? But we cannot barge into the Supreme Lord's world. Whenever he wants, he will call us. It could be many lifetimes. You see, Vritrasana is in the previous lifetime, he became a devotee. In the next lifetime, when the Lord wanted, he is actually going to go back to Krishna. So that actually should be our target. Not that anytime you want, you can actually say that I'll do whatever I want. One devotee mentioned, it's basically Krishna consciousness is more or less like a declaration of war on Maya. Right? We all know that. Maya is always actually trying hard. Krishna consciousness is voluntary. Maya consciousness is forced on us all the time. When you go outside, even when you are inside the temple also, sometimes actually our mind goes here and there. One senior Vaishnava in ISKCON actually mentioned, wherever is your mind is where you are. It's not that you might be present in any place, but your mind is somewhere else, actually you are in that place, not in this place. Right? So, we become more and more aware of our position, and then it's easy for us to actually progress in Krishna consciousness. But one thing we have to understand, difficulties will always come. Say, when you actually declare a war on someone else, you have to fight, and when you are fighting, nobody is going to sing lullabies. Ah, very nice. So people will actually create situations wherein you get disturbed. And the more you get disturbed, the more it will actually prick, your ego get hurt. But we should continue our devotional service in whatever way we can. And because of our attitude, because of our commitment, determination to serve Krishna, slowly we can actually get rectified. Our purification happens. But if we actually leave that of saying that it is not for me, then whatever the fruit, which is supposed to be the love of Godhead, that actually is not fully ripened. And we actually drop it off. So don't actually, we shouldn't actually miss it out. Krishna promises in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Machitta sarva durgani mat prasada tarishyati atachetva mahankara nashrosati vinamshati. He is saying Machitta sarva durgani. Sarva durgani means problems will be there. Sarva durgani means lot of problems will come, Arjuna. Don't worry about it. There will be lot of problems. But if you become conscious of me, that Krishna is actually following me, he is actually seeing me, he is actually observing what I am doing, and whatever prayer I am doing, he knows it. He is actually hearing all these things. When we are in that condition, then it doesn't disturb him so much. Krishna has a higher plan. Just like Dhritarashtra, he had a plan. And Krishna could actually have taken him long back. He allowed him to actually go preach, do so many things, and then he had to be taken as a demon. He is not only a normal devotee, he was a Rakshasa. And after that, he is actually taking him back to Godhead. So like that, we will be put into many conditions. Each and every one of us actually has a, Krishna has a plan for us. And when we actually cooperate with him, then although there will be difficulties, we will overcome that. Life will pass. That's what Arjuna is being told by Krishna, saying, you will have difficulties. But if you become conscious of me, and simply follow what I am saying, then you will actually not fall into illusion. Life will pass, but you will actually become a pure devotee at the end of it. There is no doubt about it. However, if you don't listen to what I am saying, Arjuna will be lost. He will be completely lost. Because what will happen? You will be lost in such kind of a situation. Should I be doing this or should I be doing that? Right? We will come to a conclusion that, okay, this is all fine, but then I also have to have my life separate, not in the way of devotion, but something else also, life, right? So this has to be imbibed in our minds. We have to follow it. We have to, the more, just like Prabhupada mentioned, a disciple means discipline. If discipline is not there, then you can't be a disciple. Devotee means devotion. If devotion is not there, it might be anything else, then no point. If you read the Shastras in terms of becoming a scholar, then that will not actually attract Krishna, but the devotion does. You see, all the devotees mentioned here, when they see the Lord face to face, it could be Dhruva Maharaj, or Rudrasura meeting Sankarshan as Chitraketu, or any other pastime, in all these pastimes, the Lord and the devotee cries. They both actually out of affection, they are not able to speak, they cry. Right? If you see Kardama Muni, when he saw Lord Vishnu, there was a huge lake created. So they were crying like that. So much of the affection they were showing against each other. So that can come not by scriptural understanding, not by austerities, not by doing any kind of different gimmicks, whatever may be mentioned in the Vedic scriptures, but only by bhakti. And that bhakti actually is a product in the hearts of the pure devotees of the Lord. And they will bestow it to you when they see that you are serious to take it. That will come. It will come when you actually serve the pure devotee of the Lord. The order of the spiritual master is very, very important. Otherwise, how will you actually go in and serve the Supreme Lord? Like Dhritarashtra was told by Narada Muni, he is Krishna conscious all the time. And he gave the mantra. And you see this, he is doing it even at the end of his life. He is actually saying, I am going to get killed, Indra. But even though you are going to kill me, I don't want to maintain my life. I know that I am going to get killed. You go ahead and then fire. So this actually demotivates the person. Like you don't think, oh, this fellow is actually telling me to fire. But it's very difficult for Indra, but still he does it. And he faces the consequence later. But he does that. Right? So Krishna actually does protect us. And Lord Chaitanya also said, Avashya Rakshibe Krishna Vishwas Palana. One should actually cultivate this Vishwasa, that is faith, that Krishna will protect me at any cost. He will protect me, whatever may be the case, doesn't matter, He will protect me. So there are so many passages like that, that the sun may go down. In fact, he told Draupadi also, many things can happen, but your protection will not actually fail. Your protection will always be there on the devotee. That is why Krishna actually says, Kaunteya Pratijanani Name Bhaktar Nashati. My devotees will never perish, don't worry about it, Arjuna. So we have to have that faith, and that faith, when you actually have the devotees, and cultivate the affection for the Lord, then Krishna consciousness becomes very easy, very simple. Otherwise it will appear like a burden. So many rules you have to follow, so many things you have to follow, you have to be aware of it all the time. Right? So, the Vritrasura stands into qualities. All the qualities automatically comes to us when our bhakti actually progresses. Right? I stop here if you have any questions, suggestions. Yes?
Prabhu, like you said, devotion is the ultimate aim. Mm-hmm. So is it required to wear silas and dress up like devotee and show the world that we are a devotee and individual from them? So is it required to that?
The question is, if devotion actually is the ultimate, is it really required to actually wear the silas, wear the dress of a devotee, kantimala, and show it to the world that I am a devotee?
And we are individual from them. We are individual.
We are individually different from them. It's a good question. Basically, Krishna doesn't see your appearance. He does see your heart. However, if you really love the Lord, we should do whatever He does. He wants us to do. Right? Simple. If somebody is cooking, and if they wear shorts and t-shirts, or any other modern clothes, and with the kind of modern way of life they cook, you will feel disgusted. Or imagine actually you are doing something important in life, and then someone very casually does, right? Casually they come and then do something. You will not feel happy. In order to please Krishna, the acharyas actually have set a particular standard. And that standard is wearing silaka, saying that, okay, I am actually your servant. Right? So by following all these things, Krishna gets pleased, because the acharya is pleased. The acharya is saying you do this. And on the other answer also is there. For a neophyte to answer this question, Prabhupada gave an example about the army man. Army man, whether he wears a dress or not, he's still an army man, right? Right? But if he wears a dress, then people feel that he is an army man. So you will have an authority to speak as an army man. When you actually wear a dress like this, the kanti mala, silak, everything, people actually identify you as a devotee of the Lord. Right? And you also will be careful enough that I shouldn't make a mistake, because people will actually start judging. Right? In all the ways it helps. In all the ways it helps. So it's important that we have to please the Supreme Lord. Whatever we do is actually for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. It's not for actually showing off, okay, I'm actually wearing a very high costly costume. Not like that. It's basically to please the Supreme Lord. And if the Supreme Lord is pleased, then everyone else is pleased. That's the reason. Does that answer your question? Yes, sir.
Just one addition. Same question was asked in the Sanya Swami Maharaj. So, Maharaj told at that time that when we are putting tilak, 12 parts of our body, so we are just making it a temple of Lord Vishnu, and we are showing, and we are declaring to whole world and even to Maya also, that now I have committed myself completely again to Lord. So that is one thing. And that is the purpose of wearing tilak and body. My question is that, when we chant in the morning, Shastram and prayers, and after that other prayers, and then we say that the purpose is Krishna thing. As you told that our mood should be, purpose should be to develop affection towards Krishna. So in that sense, when we are worshipping other forms of Lord, other incarnations, like here we worship Lakshmi Singh Dev. So my question is that, does means exclusive devotion to Krishna, is it hindered by worshipping Narasimha Dev or not? Because see, I like Sanskrit very much. So because that I was told by authorities to recite some Sanskrit shloka, I help on that. And I am very much attached to that. But there is complete attachment to that, no? I just wanted to inquire whether that becomes an hindrance in worshipping Radha Krishna or not. In developing affection towards them or not, because that is the ultimate goal. That's one question.
Good question. There are so many things in the material world which can actually ease our life. Our devotion service can be much easily performed when we actually take all these kind of Vedic remedies. But however, as we progress in spiritual life, Prabhupada mentions as well in the Bhagavatam also, and even in the Gita he mentions that if we get attached to that particular part of the sastra because it has helped me, then our real devotion to the Supreme Lord actually gets disturbed. When you say Supreme Lord, Krishna in all his forms, all put together is the Supreme Lord. Although a pure devotee of Lord Krishna considers only the Krishna form as the highest. But for conditioned souls like us, all the forms, Lakshmi Narasimha Dev, Jagannath Ji, or Radha Krishna, they are all the same for us. And we are all worshipping the Lakshmi Narayan form. Sadhana Bhakti. When you actually really come to the stage of your Swarup form, the Lord reveals really where we are supposed to be. Are we actually devotee of Lord Narasimha, or actually are we devotee of Lord Radha Krishna? That actually will come when we really reach the stage of pure devotion service. Right now, we are actually in the ditch. And in the ditch, the basic regulations, whatever is given. That is why Prabhupada and all the Vaidya Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they initiate us with the name Das, meaning a Dasiras. That's the lowest level of personal relationship with the Supreme Lord. He doesn't say so and so Sakya or so and so Madhurya, no. Right? It's all Dasya. It's all Dasiras. Basically in the servant attitude. But when we really get qualified at the point of time, the spiritual master reveals what is our real position. Right? So if we get attached to the nitty-gritty details of what is mentioned in the Vedic scriptures, right? Bhagavad Gita Krishna also mentions, when you actually get attached to the flowery language in the Vedas, we get deviated. So one has to be careful. If the authorities have said that, then you can follow it.
Not
exactly Vedic terms planet like that. Like Prabhupada famous Ramadhan, famous Ramadhan, famous Ramadhan, famous Ramadhan. So these are spoken by pure devotees. Yes, when there are many slokas like that, one can actually really follow according to what the authority says. With there, because if the authority actually tells you something, if you make a mistake or that is not the right thing, he takes the karma. And Prabhupada actually said, in fact, Jayaprada Maharaj asked, should I actually chant the Narayan Kavach? Because I'm feeling very tired. So you won't say that I should do it. Prabhupada said, my spiritual master gave Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And that is actually sufficient. It does everything. And if someone really wants to please Krishna, it's sufficient. It is mentioned, but then devotees have, he also allowed other devotees to follow. If you go and ask Prabhupada, he will always say Hare Krishna. But if somebody actually used to do it and say, I am following this, he used to allow them.
That famous incident of that when in Vadi
Mata,
many
doctors
were coming,
that time of the Sanchez, he showed
the
video
of
nothing
there.
Yeah, that's it. Mode of protection. Thank you. Yes, Master.
Krishna, so you made a point that a non-devotee, they think that you know, humble and simple and all that, and it's concocted. I also understand that Prabhupada said, one should be at least know what a good is, that a springboard to go up. So, that a non-devotee, not really good, humble and simple, but
Every person, whether it is a devotee or non-devotee, is in one sense actually a devotee. But really, his devotional love is not actually blossomed. So, Prabhupada actually mentioned this for the reason that, in fact, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur also mentioned the same thing. He says, you can actually respect the people who have these kind of good qualities. But you should not actually associate with such kind of people because their definition of real humility or service attitude is their definition. It's their definition. It's not the Shastric definition. It's not the definition of Krishna. Krishna's definition is might be different. Of a humble person, according to Krishna, might be different from so-called people in this world. You can appreciate, but you don't associate with such kind of people. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants. Because if you appreciate and associate also with them, then their other qualities actually will come into picture. Because the pure devotee is actually a wholesome Krishna conscious person. Other people might be saying they might have good quality in one aspect. So when you associate with them, the other crap also comes. Anarthas also come into us. And if you associate with a person who uses all filthy words all the time, you keep talking to him, you will also pick up those filthy words. It comes naturally. Similarly, that is why it is that even though you have to fight with the devotees. And this way, I am not saying you fight. But I am saying, the comparison Prabhupada gives is like fighting with sandalwood. Whether you love a sandalwood or you fight with sandalwood, still you will actually start smelling good. Right? You will start getting the good qualities somehow or other. If you stay with the devotees, Prabhupada wanted that. Prabhupada wanted that devotees in ISKCON should be exemplary, that ordinary people, if they simply associate, they will go back to Krishna. Whether they are following anything or not. So you wanted such kind of people. So we have to be careful. We can appreciate them, but their definition, it's not my definition, it's Bhagavatam's definition. Their definition is actually mental concoction. Does it answer your question? Prabhu, can we take one more question? Yes.
What circumstances does Mr. Vishal not become devotee?
Very good question. In what circumstances book distribution, Harinam, not become devotional service? In all circumstances, it does become devotional service on long run. But as you progress in spirituality, you should understand that you are doing this for Krishna's sake. Otherwise, you may be doing it, you may be singing, you may be using Krishna's name, but potential will not be there. Book distribution might become a business for you. But the love for the Lord that I am actually distributing and I am able to distribute this by Krishna's mercy, my Guru's mercy, that will not arise. You will start thinking, what is the new technique I should be using? And you will think on yourself. Basically, your intelligence is more powerful. You start thinking, I am becoming more and more intelligent. I have got this new technique. I know how to actually make more devotees. So there, your affection towards the Lord actually doesn't arise. Prabhupada, that is why that he didn't actually emphasize on that. He said, you can actually distribute books. It's very important that we distribute books all the time. But as you do it and then follow the other things, you also said 16 rounds, Hare Krishna, 4 regulative principles, and the 10 offenses to be avoided. If you do these 3 things, that's the basic level of love. Automatically, anything you do after that, in the beginning it may have shaky things. As it goes on, you become pure. Getting it? Does it answer the question?
Prabhu, I have one question for you.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's something related to what you said regarding Harinam chanting holy hymns can become a sense gratification. For example, suppose I really love singing kirtan, and if people are getting attracted to my voice, and you know, if I'm singing in many places, suppose if I get attracted to that fame or that attached to that position, that yes, I'm really singing well, then will I still get the benefit of singing the Lord's name, or will it get washed away because of that?
If you make a devotee in any way, ena prakarena, you will get the benefit. Definitely. But if you get attracted to the fame, then like our existing Sita Singh, so many people, they will sing, but they don't become devotees. Krishna doesn't want us to actually really sing. He wants he knows our heart. That is why actually there is a difference in the pure devotee sing. When you hear Prabhupada actually singing, it doesn't have so many of tunes and all. You are singing under a tree and you see that your moment is here now. So there is a difference, right? And slowly, we have to go and tell the Lord, I am getting attracted to this fame. You treat him as a person, he will cure you. We can actually sing, I am getting attracted to this fame and people are actually attracted to me because of my singing. But Lord, you know my real situation. Nobody else knows it. The Lord knows our heart. So if you tell the Lord personally that this is my problem, the Lord cures it. Right? The point is, whatever we do, whatever activity we do, we have to offer it as a humble offering to the Supreme Lord with devotion. and tell the Lord, this is my pranam, you please take care of it. If you treat him like a person, he will treat you like a person. If you think, okay, anyways, he's Paramatma, he knows everything, he will also say, he's Paramatma only, you will not actually do anything. See, in devotional service, Krishna, although it's Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, all three are absolute truth. Bhagavan says, means you have to treat him like a person. You have to go and tell him, I have this problem. He knows that you have this problem. Still, he expects you to tell him that you have a problem. Then he actually takes control. If you leave him, okay, anyway, you are Paramatma, you know me, you know my heart. You don't ask anything, and you'll also not do anything. Right? So like that, Prabhupada always said, if you really want to pray to Krishna, say, I want to love you, but I don't know how to love you. Please, engage me in your service. That is what actually he gives. And that is what we do in Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Okay? I'll stop here. Yeah?
Dhamma Dhamma. In that case,
From the Shastri point of view, whatever Prabhupada has given, Damodara means Ishwarama is saying Krishna. Srimati Radharani pastimes are all very exalted, they are very, very highly exalted pastimes. And for us, Lord Chaitanya's pastime is actually very exalted, we can't understand that. So we should understand whatever the acharyas have given. If we speculate, then we may not get the same result. Right? Damodara means Yashodama is actually trying Krishna, what of love. So these are all there, maybe there. But then real Damodara that we think, if you see Damodara has to come, the prayer translation, it talks about Yashodamai actually dying Krishna. It doesn't say Radharani dying Krishna. So at least for us, when you think the Dhamma Rashtaka is basically Yashodamai trying Krishna. There are many other pastimes that are there. Krishna is unlimitedly wonderful. He does so many pastimes. But we have to stick on with what our acharyas are. When we really get pure, we will be able to see all these things basically. No speculation. Rahul Prabhu saying, Radhanath Maharaj actually mentioned that at one time Srimati Radharani wanted to know what is the mood experienced by Yashodamai. And for that reason, she actually made a situation and tried Krishna. But these are actually higher pastimes. There are many pastimes like this that Srimati Radharani and Krishna perform. But for us, Yashodamai and Krishna actually is Damodarita. Hare Krishna, and stop here. Grantharashtra Bhagavatam ki, Jai Vinayana Balaya Sudhana Maya ki, Jai.